One of the most anticipated events of the Olympic Games is the marathon. The distance of the marathon is approximately 42.2 kilometers, or 26.2 miles. Let's put this distance into perspective for us as we live in Windsor, Essex County. If you ran from Campbell Baptist Church, which is where we are today, to Amherstburg and back, you would have run an entire marathon. And it is safe to say that most of us would need to do some serious training to work on our endurance before we could even survive running that far. Now, some of you are sitting here and you're like, ah, I've done that before. And you've done runs like this. And so you understand and have experienced the effort and endurance that it takes to complete a long-distance race. I have not yet done a marathon. The furthest I've gone is half of a marathon. But in Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, the Christian's life of faith is equated to a difficult endurance race, like a marathon. So let's read Hebrews 12, 1 to 3 together. It's found on page 1008 of your Pew Bibles. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Today we are going to consider how to live in faith and faithfulness to God. So first we will consider the example of how those who went before us lived in faith. When I was young, I remember each year my dad bought the official NHL guide and record book. I remember reading about how players achieved certain accomplishments in their careers, and I desired to be like them. But as you can see today, my NHL career did not come to fruition. But I did learn things about how to play hockey by reading that book. And even though my dad had the official NHL guide and record book, he read the Bible even more. I can look back at those times and remember how my dad has been an example of faith to me. And one of the reasons we read the Bible and why he read the Bible is to consider how men and women of the Bible, how they lived out their faith in faithfulness to God. We could say the Bible is the official record book where we find out how people ran the race of faith. Now, looking at the records of church history, we would read about many more who were faithful, to even the point of dying for the faith, their faith in Jesus, because they too had looked back at the example of the Old Testament believers. Hebrews 11 reminds us of how different ones in the Old Testament lived in faith. And we're not going to read all of Hebrews 11 today. But we know that they had anticipated, these Old Testament saints, they anticipated the coming Messiah. Whereas we look back at Christ, the Messiah, and look forward to heaven where we will forever be with Christ. So we look forward like them, but we also look back. They received a promise from God, yet Christ did not come in their day. And yet they lived in faith. John MacArthur says, these ones are not spectators. They are witnesses to the power of the life of faith. It is worthwhile to consider how these people were just as sinfully depraved as we are. Yet God chose to promise them the hope of the coming Savior who would save them from their sins. Their faith was manifest by obedience, in obedience to God. They obeyed because of a hope that was to come, of what was to come. As Hebrews 11:1 proclaims, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In obedience, they trusted that God would send a deliverer in the future. And they possessed an assurance of hope because of the word that God had given them and his faithfulness to them. Our obedience to God illustrates that we too trust God's word to us. We believe that God is unchanging and faithful in keeping his promises to us. We can have assurance that what God says in his word, his word will come to pass. He will bring it to pass. We trust in faith that when God says something, he means it and will do it. So when God has told us that he will never leave us or forsake us, we can really trust that promise from God as we live out our faith. We know for a fact that he kept the promise of sending the Messiah to redeem mankind from sin. Jesus perfectly fulfilled all of the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah. And those same prophecies are what the people recorded in Hebrews 11 had faith in. They believed that these things, that the Messiah would come, that he would save them. So Jesus came. He lived, died, and rose again. And this is what they believed would happen. It is what we know did happen. And Peter, who was a witness to it, says this in Acts 2:32. This Jesus God raised up from the dead. And of that we are witnesses. We saw it with our very own eyes. The reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is why we can believe and trust in the hope of an eternity with Jesus in heaven. That's what we hope for. Now, at times it might seem things are a little hazy when it comes to the things of God and what we know about God. But think about the Old Testament believers. Most did not even have the scriptures written down. All they had to go on was a few words from God. And that yet, they had faith. Wow. What a condemnation to us who don't have faith. We're struggling in our faith. Sure, we see through a glass darkly today, but in comparison, they had much less substance to believe in, to have faith in. They had been told about that Messiah that was coming to deliver them, but they did not have the record of his coming as we do in the Gospels. Yet they had faith he would come. These are the ones that are called the great cloud of witnesses. And from them, we can be strengthened in our faith, to endure, to keep on. Because they kept on in obedience, we too can endure in our race, full of an assurance of faith. We can emulate how they lived in faith with endurance and hope. Hope of the coming Messiah by gazing back at Jesus Christ, the hope of eternity. He was their motivation to endure. He is our motivation to endure. Now, let's not just consider how those who have gone before us lived in faith. Let's also consider from our passage how we must live out our faith. Often when talking to new believers, they will say, I'm not quite sure how to begin, you know, like, how do I start living out this Christian life? How do I start to begin to have faith? And this part of the passage is beneficial to help the new believer to see how they can start to live out their faith. Yet again, it's a reminder to mature Christians of how we must continue to live out our faith in faithfulness to God. So let's read verse 1 again. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here we see we need to get rid of things that would encumber us, would drag us down into sinful habits and patterns of life. We need to evict the bad renters that are causing us to lack in faith. Anything that distracts from fully glorifying God, from seeking God first and His kingdom, is an encumbrance. The language of this passage tells us that there are many things that can possibly allow to hang on to us. Some translations call these encumbrances weights. They are things that keep us from living our lives in a full run for Jesus. They will keep you from running at your full potential. In one of the last couple Summer Olympics, I remember watching a short report on TV how they had been working to streamline the outfits that certain athletes wore so that they could move more efficiently and compete in their event with a faster time. Similarly, we need to consider what might be keeping us back, how we might be more efficient, and how we might live effectively our faith in faithfulness to God, who is faithful. Not only do we lay aside these outside encumbrances, but we need to root out the indwelling sin. That sin entangles us and trips us up in our race of faith. Yes, at times, you young believers, you have a heightened awareness of the sin that is in your life because of the work of the Holy Spirit that has just been wrought in your life. And so you have a desire that you do not want any sin in your life. You want to axe out, to chop out the sin immediately out of your lives. This is a good thing. You desire that you would not hurt the one who has so graciously saved you. They don't want to hurt the one who saved them. But yet there's these other people. And I would call them the crusty old Christians. Who haven't cut out all those roots of sin. Although the Holy Spirit has been speaking to them for a very long time. These ones are hanging on to their favorite sins. It's like they built a wall around a certain tree and posted signs saying, God is not permitted by this tree, by this corner of my life. No trespassing, God. Quite often, the reason any Christian resists the Holy Spirit is because something has become an idol that they love, that they desire to fulfill more than they love Christ, more than they love God. But do you remember that old hymn, I Surrender All? It doesn't say, all to Jesus I surrender. It does say that, but it doesn't say, I surrender some. It doesn't say, I surrender most. What does it say? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I surrender all. We must stop holding back from God. We don't need that sin. It's not helping our faith, brothers and sisters. It's holding us back in our race of faith. We must leave that sin at Jesus' feet. That is why he died, to take our sin. So that we can be free to live righteously. He wants us to live full throttle in faith, full of faith for Jesus. Remember this, believer. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20. You are Christ. So that area of your life that you are trying to block God out of, it isn't yours to block God out of. You are his. So that means every area of your life needs to be surrendered to his control. With open hands, freely giving to him. We aren't our own. We must get rid of that sin in our lives and root it out so that we can live in faithfulness to God. Yet, it does take effort. It does take effort to live out your life in faithfulness. And that is why Paul admonishes believers to endure suffering. This language of enduring, perseverance, patience, and suffering indicate that it takes time and effort to live out your faith in faithfulness to God. In Philippians 1:29, it indicates that it's actually a privilege to endure suffering for the sake of Christ. Yet it seems at times we are just like the unfaithful Israelites, complaining and whining to God, even though he had saved them from slavery in Egypt, even though he was providing manna and quail for them, even though he was leading and guiding them with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Instead of seeing our trials as being used by God to work out our salvation and strengthen our faith, we tend to focus on the circumstances and then lash out at him. I'm not trying to yell at you. I'm just saying this is how we are. This is our sinful nature. I'm speaking about myself when I say this. I need to work on this too, brothers and sisters. We need to remember to look to God in our struggles instead of ourselves. Instead of seeing our trials as being used by God to work out our salvation, we focus on ourselves, on our circumstances. We do this because our sinful flesh does not want God working to root out the sin in our lives. And it's a struggle. It takes work. But despite this, God wants to use these hard times, and He will use these hard times to reveal sin and break down the walls around that sin in order to bring us to repentance and humble dependence on Christ, the one whose possession we are. We need new eyes. New eyes that we look at our trials in a different way. Instead of focusing on the pain, we need to ask God, what do you want me to see through this trial? Lord, how can you be glorified in this? How can you be glorified in me as I endure through this trial? We will be running this race the rest of our lives. It is a long race, so we need to work on our endurance. I remember when I ran my half marathon, I had a good start to the race, and I was able to stay up with much of the front of the pack of runners for almost half of the race. But as the race wore on, I made the poor judgment of skipping the water that was provided for the runners. It was just past the halfway point, and up to that point, I was running well. I even passed some of my friends that I thought they were better runners than me. And they probably were. However, the next couple miles until I reached the next water stop turned out to be very difficult for me. You know, it wasn't uphill. And it was actually considered the easiest part of the race. But it became the most difficult for me because of my poor judgment. I had depended on my feelings rather than the facts that had been laid out to me before the race. I had been told by an experienced runner to take the water at every point so as not to lose energy as I neared the end of the race. Part of us being able to live our faith in endurance is remembering to drink down the water of the Word provided for us during our race. We need to take time to read and find encouragement in the Bible. It's meant to refresh us. Without God's word, we will find we lack the strength to follow after our Lord. How many of us make excuses in our hearts as to why we should skip our daily time in the word and prayer? And then we are at work, and when we're at work, our faith is tested, and our strength to endure, our spiritual strength, quickly the lack of it becomes apparent. We need the refreshment of a daily time of prayer and reading the Word of God so that we can be prepared to face with patience and endurance the struggles that may come our way throughout the day. As well, we need to take a weekly time with the believers under the teaching of the Word so that we do not find by the end of the week that we are spiritually sapped and feel unable to take that next step. Remember Jesus? When he knew there was a hard trial coming, he even took that time alone away to pray and commune with the Father. We need to live our entire lives in faith. So let's take the times provided for spiritual refreshment so we can better endure the struggles that will come our way. So far, we have considered how those who have gone before lived in faith and how we must live in faith. But finally, and most importantly, let's consider how Christ lived in faith and faithfulness. Let's read verses 2 and 3 again together. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The one who created and will bring about the end of this world is the same one who created faith and will bring it to completion in our lives. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. By him, to him, and through him are all things, including our faith. This is why we don't find salvation in any other. He is the giver of faith. He is the goal of the race. He is why we run the race. He is the prize. He is the race. We race for him because without him, there would be no goal or reason to be in the race. Jesus came and lived life here on earth as the God-man. And he was tempted in all points that we have been tempted. But he was sinless. He knew mourning, pain, mocking, betrayal, and death. Hebrews 4, 15 to 16 encourages those who are running the race of faith with these words. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He understands our predicament completely. He endured through every trial for us perfectly. He subjected himself in perfect faith to the will of the Father. If we open the Gospels, we could read over and over of the religious leaders trying to catch him in his words, but they could not. The very thing that they found to convict him of was blasphemy before God, because he said he was God. Yet, they were just as guilty of blaspheming God, but he was not. He was innocent. Even Pilate could not find any basis for a charge against him in the Roman laws. Yet Jesus still took the whipping that was reserved for the criminals. He was spit upon and beaten. He was subjected to the sovereign will of the Father, looking forward to the joy that his work of redemption on the cross, that the pain would bring. He looked beyond the cross and the grave and this earth to the joy of heaven, when all those ones that his life would pay for would be gathered around the throne, glorifying the Father because of him. He trusted the Father's perfect plan to bring mankind to the joy of heaven. Not just from the Jews, but men and women from every tribe, tongue, and nation. He was leading sinners home. And he looked forward to the day when his bride, the church, would be with him forever in heaven. He endured the pain of death to bring life for us. He was the example of perfect endurance so that he could be seated and waiting in glory for those he died to save. Brothers and sisters, we must consider Christ more than anything. More than looking to the ones who went before us, we must look to Christ, the one whose life was a perfect example of faith. Yes, we can find how Wayne Gretzky, the great one, played hockey in the official guide, NHL guide and record book. Yet in the Bible, we have a record of how Jesus, the greatest one, lived, died, and rose again, so that all who would believe might come to him in faith, and that they might believe in him and not be cast out. Those are precious words. He endured the cross for you and for me, so that we might believe on him and have life in his name. He must be preeminent in all our ponderings and considerings of faith. He came so that we might also endure in faith and attain the joy of an eternity with him forever in heaven. And there will be no greater joy than that. So we can endure. We do not have to grow weary or faint-hearted. Jesus did not lose heart or faith in the promises of God the Father. He knew that salvation would be accomplished through his faithful work. He had full assurance that one day all who believed him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Our faith rests secure in him. He really was the Messiah. He was the Savior of the world. If our faith rests in him, we will not be put to shame. Now, if you're here and you know you do not know Jesus in this way, you have not come in faith and repentance to Jesus, I want you to know for you today there can be hope. There is hope in him. He really is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. Come to man. He lived, died, and rose again so that you can confess your sins before him and believe in him, that he is the promised Savior from God. You too can be counted as one of those who have faith. And I plead with you this morning that you would not make delay in coming to faith in Jesus. To the believers in Jesus, I ask you, search your heart. See what is clinging onto you. Are there sins you are trying to keep God from eliminating in your life? Give them to Jesus. Remember, you are not your own. You are not your own. You are his. Don't keep building that wall and posting signs to try to keep God out of that area of your life. He gave up all of himself and died for you. Don't be lying and saying, I surrender most or some. God wants you to be able to run to your full potential. If there's something or someone holding you back in your faith that is weighing you down or keeping you from seeking Christ first, lay aside the weight and run. Don't let something be an excuse or your reason for why you are not growing in faith. We must lay it aside and run our race with endurance, considering the faith and faithfulness of Christ. May we be doing that this morning. Let's close in prayer.